ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 51.
Tatheti Guru Putroktam. Tatheti Guru Putroktam. Anugyayedamabravit. Anugyayedamabravit. धर्मो हि यस्योपदेष्टव्यो धर्मो हि यस्योपदेष्टव्यो राज्ञां यो गृहमेधिनां राज्ञां यो गृहमेधिनां।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. After hearing these instructions of Shanda and Amarka, the sons of his spiritual master, Hiranyakashipu agreed and requested them to instruct Prahlad in that system of occupational duty which is followed by royal householder families. Purport. Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad Maharaj to be trained as a diplomatic king in ruling the kingdom, the country, or the world, but not to be advised about renunciation or the renounced order of life. The word dharma here does not refer to some religious faith. As clearly stated, dharmo hi asyopadeshtavyo ragyam yo grihamedhinam. There are two kinds of royal families, one whose members are simply attached to householder life, and the other consisting of rajarshis, kings, who govern with ruling power, but are as good as great saints. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to become a Rajarshi, whereas Hiranyakashipu wanted him to become a king attached to sense enjoyment, Grihamedhinam. Therefore, in the Aryan system, there is Varnashram Dharma, by which everyone should be educated according to his position in society's division of Varna, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and Ashram, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. A devotee purified by devotional service is always in the transcendental position above the mundane qualities. Thus, the difference between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu was that Hiranyakashipu wanted to keep Prahlad in mundane attachment, whereas Prahlad was above the modes of material nature. As long as one is under the control of material nature, his occupational duty is different from that of a person not under such control. One's real dharma or occupational duty is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam, as described to his order carriers by Dharmaraj or Yamaraj. A living being is a spiritual identity, and therefore his occupational duty is also spiritual. The real dharma is that which is advised in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. One must give up one's material occupational duties just as one must give up his material body. Whatever one's occupational duty, even according to the Varnashram system, one must give it up and engage in one's spiritual function. One's real dharma or occupational duty is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. Every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. That is one's real occupational duty. Shanda and Amarka have promised Hiranyakashipu that they will take the matter in their own hands and sort of make Prahlad proper, to make him a proper gentleman. Shanda and Amarka, in one sense, we're running a grooming academy. Like, they teach you table manners, teach you how to make a speech, how to enjoy the world in a very proper way. Of course, what this proper is, there is always some kind of disagreement. And therefore, as Srila Prabhupada puts it, this material world is like a vast pool of water, and all living entities are putting their pebbles of sense gratification. Till the time your circle and my circle is separate, we are friends. What makes people into friends? Common sense gratification. Oh, you like this kind of particular vice? Me too. So we are partners in sense gratification. The moment you threaten my sense gratification, I warn you that please, the most civil way of behavior is to keep your sense gratificatory competitor apart. Why don't you enjoy that particular way? I'll enjoy this particular way. And therefore, there is never any cooperation. Not just there is never any cooperation, there is no chance of any cooperation when people are embarking on a journey where sense gratification is the goal. Recently, we got an email from an organization. They are organizing a meet, a global meet of leaders. Everybody comes and meditates on peace. And somehow, we have to be, they are saying, we should not be peace talkers, we should be peacemakers. And of course, in one conference I attended, this lady said, and what that peace is, I think there will be much of disagreement here itself. So they know that it's not even easy, it's impossible. Our Niti Shastra has this small parable of a thief going in the house of a Brahmana, because that evening, this is night time, that evening the Brahmana was delivered two fat goats as Yajna Pashu. So this thief wanted to steal them. As he went under a tree, he found somebody up there and he said, who's there? So they said, I am the Brahma Rakshas here. So he says, where are you going? He says, to the Brahmana's house. What for? Well, I want to steal his goats. So he says, me too, I want to kill him and eat him. So he said, then we are friends. So they both walk together. As they approach the village, the thief says, so now enough of other pleasantries and conversations, I should tell you the strategy. I go inside, very stealthily I take those goats away, then you go and kill him. So he says, good idea, but you know something? I'll go first and kill him. Then there is no more noise, no problem. You can safely take the goats away. He said, there's a slight hitch in your plan. If you allow me to take the goats away, then the Brahmana is there for you to kill and enjoy the way you want. He said, why can't you just cooperate? Have you heard this before? Why can't you just cooperate? Meaning, why can't you just do things my way? I mean, just obey me. The word used is cooperate, but what actually that person intends is, just do my bidding, just do what I'm saying. By the time they are very near the village, this has become a heated conversation. Not you, but me first. By the time they arrive at his house, the Brahma Raksha is telling, I'll threaten you with dire consequences if you go ahead. And he says, I don't care about you. You know, I know so many mantras and everything. I don't care about any Brahma Rakshas. Finally, they know that they are equally powerful. So the Brahma Rakshas shouts, hey, Brahmana, there is a thief come to steal your goats. And the thief shouts, and there is a Brahma Rakshas out to kill you. So the Brahmana takes away his sacred thread and puts some water and starts chanting mantras. And the Brahma Rakshas has to flee away. And then he shouts, thief, thief, thief. And some people come from neighborhood with sticks. And the thief says, now I can't do anything. This is the story of cooperation in this material world. Till the time there is some common gain, there is some semblance, some shadow of cooperation. So here, Prabhupada talks in the purport of two kinds of royal families. Today we are honoring three great personalities. One of course is the consort, eternal consort of the Lord, Srimati Sita Devi, the consort of Lord Ram. Another great devotee, Madhu Pandit, and Srimati Janava Devi. So, I tried to do some research about the life of Madhu Pandit, but not much is known about this great devotee. Not much is revealed in the Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, which talks of the life stories of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Bhakti Ratnakar has some information about him. He is the great devotee whom Gopinath, we have three vigrahas, Sambandha, Abhidheya and Prayojan deities. Madan Mohan is the Sambandha deity. Govinda Dev is the Abhidheya deity. And the Prayojan deity is Lord Gopinath. Raghunath Das Goswami is described as the Sevait or the devotee whose Ishtadev is Gopinath. But actually it is Madhu Pandit who established the worship of Gopinath ji. And that particular form, when it was revealed, up to the knees, Govinda, Madan Mohan reveals the exact proportion form of Lord Krishna up to his knees, up to the waist, something like that, up to the waist. Up to his neck, Govinda Dev's form resembles that, and his face is most closely resembled in the form of Lord Gopinath. So that particular temple became the cynosure of all the attention devotees to come to take blessings. And the only pastime known about Madhu Pandit is that famous first book distribution, in our sense, the first van which carried all the Goswami literature from Vrindavan. As it was about to start, Madhu Pandit Prabhu took a garland from Gopinath ji and he offered it to Srinivas Acharya and the whole crew. So that's how he blessed that first and only voyage of Goswami literature going out of Vrindavan. About Janava Devi, it is described that there was one person by the name, who is a pure devotee of Krishna, Suryadas Sarakhela. Sarakhela is the description of a profession. He was an accountant or of sorts. And he had two daughters, Janava and Vasudha. One day in a dream, it was revealed to him that he saw his two daughters marrying Nityanand Prabhu. And he was so overjoyed that he spoke about this wonderful dream to some devotees. And they said, well, if that is what the Lord wants, why don't you go ahead? It is described that this Suryadas Sarakhela was King Kakudmi. And in the previous Leela, in Krishna Leela, Lord Balram's consorts, Varuni and Revati, they appeared as Janava and Vasudha. Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami describes, Nityananda Gosai Pathaila Goda Deshe, Teho Bhakti Pracharila Shesha Visheshe. Lord Chaitanya at one particular point of time Pathaila, he told Nityanand Prabhu that you go and preach. And we know that Lord Nityanand Prabhu, he had his special entourage, his special group, Minaketan Ramadas, Uddharanda Thakur. So that time Lord Nityanand Prabhu accepted Janava and Vasudha as his eternal, they are his eternal consorts. And as Lord Chaitanya finished his pastimes at the age of 48 only, yesterday morning we were listening, the Lord's pastimes are defined as prakat and aprakat. In this world we describe things as being made and broken, born and dead. But spiritual things are not described like that. In fact, Krishna describes to Arjuna that you and other living entities, they also don't have any death. Similarly, me too. Ajopi san avyay atma. My transcendental body never deteriorates. Just like what happened to yesterday's sun? Did it go somewhere? Was it deteriorated? Was it trashed? Put in the recycle bin or something? No, it's the same sun. But it appears new, appears fresh. So similarly, Krishna's pastimes also appear and disappear, just like the sun appears and disappears. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most of his associates, Shachi Mata and Ishan Thakur, all those who were living in Navadvip area, as well as some of the main personalities from Puri, Navadvip and Puri were the main centers of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, when they are all gone back to the spiritual world. Somebody has to take the mantle of leadership. A society without a leader is like a body without a head. You can get all the nourishment you can, but there is no direction. So it was Janava Devi who was respected as the leader of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. She was a bold preacher. There are so many pastimes. Of course, I am no expert in them. I just gleaned some things about her. She is the one who toured Vrindavan, gave succor to so many Vaishnavas there who were feeling pangs of separation. When these books came out, as we were reading in Madhu Pandit's pastimes, when the books of the Goswamis came out, it was not just to bring them out of Vrindavan, it was also to disseminate that information, to distribute, to have regular kathas. And then, to everybody's dismay, the books got stolen. So the other two partners were sent ahead. Srinivas Acharya decided to stay back. And another pastime, the king, Bir Hambir, the dacoit king of that particular area, Khanakul Krishna Nagar, he surrendered to Srinivas Acharya, became his disciple, and that whole kingdom became Vaishnavas. In fact, it is documented as the first kingdom in modern history to become fully Vaishnava. Ekadashi was a national observation. It was observed nationally. There is no way you can escape it. Of course, that was not the mood in people's mind. They used to do it lovingly. The king himself used to do it. So what was the problem? As Prabhupada says here, there are the Rajarshi kings and others who are just sense enjoyers. So then she arranged for the first Gaur Purnima festival, which was held at Kheturi. And Janava Devi's pride, her main love, was to see profuse prasadam being distributed. Thousands and thousands and thousands of devotees came. They partook of that prasad. Another time when she was in Vrindavan, she was taking her bath in the Yamuna, when a black hand grabbed her. And she was surprised to watch that. And then she heard a voice that very soon I will take you. And later, when again she was bathing, a deity of Krishna came up. And it is described in some of our books that there is a place near Hooghly where that deity is still worshipped. So she took on the mantle of leadership. She guided hundreds and thousands of devotees in their spiritual lives. In the Kalyan Kalpataru, it is described that Mother Janava is prayed in this way: you are the divine energy of Lord Nityananda. You are the bestower of Krishna Bhakti. Please bless me at your lotus feet, which can fulfill all spiritual desires. You have delivered many, many despicable creatures. Here is one more destitute and hateful person. Please deliver me. Sri Janava Mata ki. And of course, Lord Ramchandra is described as the Maryada Purushottam Ram, the one who set the limits of ideal behavior. Ideal king, ideal warrior, ideal enemy, ideal son, ideal husband, ideal ruler, ideal justice. Everything the very ideal. And just like Janava, Vasudha and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, or Lakshmi Priya, Vishnu Priya and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly Sita is Lord Ram's eternal consort. The Brahma Samhita describes Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishthan. Ram is described as the Kala, as a part. Now if you describe something like this table is a part of the furniture, that means there is something more. So if Ram is a Kala, what is the Purna? What is the whole? Krishna Swayam Samabhavat. Samabhavat. It is Krishna alone who is the source of all these incarnations. Parama Pumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Lord Ramchandra, he is like, yesterday we were discussing somewhere, we have this thing called Chandra Kala, the crescent moon. On the moon, there is no crescent moon, isn't it? If you go on the moon, you won't find any crescent there. It is just a shadow of the earth which makes the moon appear, and poets describe it in very flowing plaudits about, you know, what beauty, like the crescent moon. So similarly, Ram, Matsya, Kashyapa, they might exhibit a part of Krishna's potency. They exhibit, it is not like they are lacking in something. The moon is full always, but from your vantage point, you feel as if it is half today or it is a crescent today. So Ram is the full personality of Godhead. But for the purpose of Leela, he accepts a particular role. Like when Lord Ram was in Dandakaranya, the rishis there, they just came and told that we are attracted towards you in a madhurya bhav. He said, this is not the time for it. I am supposed to be ekapatnivrat. So later we can see. So these, some of the gopis are described as being those Dandakaranya sadhus, rishis, tapasvis, like people who perform great austerities. So some gopis are called the Munichari gopis. They were munis before, and now they have taken this form. So the Ramayana describes, of course, there are many versions of Ramayana. I have taken this account of the glories of Mother Sita with the help of our Nityananda Prabhu. He has some extra information from some commentaries by the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas. Sita Devi is primarily described as the embodiment of Karuna, mercy. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami also advises devotees, rather than approaching the Lord directly with any entreaties, any prayers, you approach the merciful nature of the Lord, which is personified as Radha or Sita Devi. The clearance takes place much faster at that window, so to say. It's a, the file doesn't get stopped by red tape. Of course, there is no red tape with Krishna, but Krishna puts so many conditions. How is it possible that someone can be made fit for service immediately? It's as if you approach Krishna and say that, I want to become your devotee. And if the question is asked, and where were you for all these years? We have to hang our head in shame. And what makes you feel that you are fit to become a devotee? So therefore we have all these great Ram Bhaktas and Krishna Bhaktas. They proclaim their inadequacy. They proclaim the state where they are in. We have Thakur Bhakti Vinod, Narottam Das Thakur. Today we are talking of the Ramayana in context of Mother Sita. Once Dinabandhu Prabhu of Vrindavan, he told a prayer about a famous Ram Bhakta in North India. He said, oh my dear Lord Ram, you are described as Mahapatit Pavan. It is popularly called Ram Darbar, if you've heard this word, Ram Darbar. Picture is also called Ram Darbar. Ram, Sita, Lakshman, and Hanuman in a sitting posture. So he says, your consort Sita is pure. Your brother Lakshman is also pure. And your servant Hanuman is pure. But you are called Mahapatit Pavan. So where is a Patit in this Darbar? And that's me. So please take me there. Otherwise, your reputation as Mahapatit Pavan will have no meaning. So this is a way in which the devotee beseeches the Lord for mercy. The Ramayana describes Sita meaning land which is plowed. That's a technical meaning given. Janak Maharaj was once plowing land, and the land which was plowed, he suddenly found a golden basket, a box. He opened it up, and there was a very, very beautiful baby girl. Since he located his girl in that particular area, he started calling her Sita. She's also known as Janaki, as a daughter of Janak, Maithili, Vaidehi, so many other names are there. As she grew up, she had the reputation of being the most beautiful in all the three worlds. Many were vying for her hand, looking for an opportunity when that day would be announced that she is having her swayamvar. But Janak Maharaj, concerned that she should have the right husband, he practically made an impossible task to fulfill her swayamvara vow. There was a dhanushya, a bow. 300 men were required to transport it from one place to another. Of course, once it was Sita who carried it alone. So people were amazed that how come someone so delicate is also so powerful. And at that time, so many people were there to participate in her swayamvar. Even Ravana was there. The Ravan mentality is, if I like it, I want it. And if I want it, I deserve it. And if I deserve it, I should get it. And if I want to get it, there should nobody in my way. So he also was there, but he failed. Many others failed. But Lord Ramchandra, just like an elephant picks up a mushroom, he picked that up and with great pomp was married to Sita. There was another baby girl born after Sita was located. She was given the name Urmila. And she was married to Lakshman. So they came. Everybody was so happy. And then was the most blessed day of Lord Ram's ascension to the throne, his coronation. And then Mother Kaikeyi, she remembered her vows. She remembered two boons given to her by King Dashrath. And she said, I would like now to exercise these boons. And Dashrath said, whatever you want. Number one, my son Bharat should be crowned king. And number two, that Bharat should not have any competitor. Ram should leave this Ayodhya and go to the forest for 14 years. It was a heart-rending scene when Dashrath had to relate this to Lord Ram. More than that was when Lord Ram had to relate it to Lakshman and Sita. So this is how the Ramayana introduces Sita's exalted character. When she said, my place is besides you. My father has given you my hand. So now I don't have any other fortune except serving you in whatever way, whatever capacity. So to describe that one who was, for whom even the most delicate and soft pillows and beds and rugs and carpets would appear as if thorns were piercing her, those soft feet would now be traversing over actual jungle, pebbles and stones and thorny paths. So she accepted it just because her husband was fulfilling a particular vow. If you are Maryada Purushottam, then I have to be your proper consort. Later, when at the last part of their sojourn in forest, Ramayana basically means Ram's journey. Like we have Uttarayana, the sun's journey. So Ramayana is a journey of Lord Ram through various places. When Lord Ram finally settled at Panchavati, that was the time when Lord Ram killed Khara, Dushana, 14,000 of their Rakshasa commanders. And for those who have read the Ramayana, it sometimes, or many times, it almost feels as if it is not the divinity which is speaking. Like when Lord Ram kills all these forest demons, Sita Devi actually admonishes him. She said, have we come here just to kill all these people without any sense? So Lord Ram says, no, it's not like I'm killing them left, right, center. They are troubling the rishis in the forest. As a Kshatriya Veer, it's my duty. She said, what about you killing them at night? He says, well, if I am serving some higher purpose, especially I am protecting Dharma, then I am allowed to kill at any part of the time, any part of the day or night. So through these dialogues, the proper guidance for mankind comes up, where Ram and Sita speak like ordinary warrior and his wife or something like that. But then Lord Ram says, but still Sita, as a dutiful and intelligent wife, you have alerted me that in the excitement of events, I shouldn't just go and kill senselessly. So although Lord Ram is allowed, he is like licensed to kill for duty's purpose, still there is Sita Devi who acts like a safety valve, that please make sure that just by, like when we like something, and that also happens to be our duty. Like Govind Prabhu has his famous Karnataka saying, I hope I am correct. The patient likes to eat yogurt and rice, dahi bhat, and the doctor says, next 15 days, only dahi bhat 3 times a day. He says, gladly, no problem. So when your duty and your service, they are like they fit like a hand and glove, there is always a chance of doing things in excess. When duty and what you like, they are as poles apart, that's the time your value as a servant is actually arrived at. So, shurpa nakha, shurpa is a winnow for clearing the grain from the chaff. Shurpa nakha. You can imagine how hideous she must be if her nails resemble winnows. And proportionately, all other parts of her body were equally hideous. A protruding belly, sharp fangs for teeth, coppery red eyes, fangled hands and spread hair all over the body, that too woolly, thick hair. So with that kind of appearance, that too, when she saw Lord Ram, of all things she wanted to seduce him. Now, is there any probability that this could take place? But she, being a Mayavi demoness, she could change her form at will. Taking the form of a very beautiful woman, she went and approached Lord Ram. Oh, great hero, with strong arms, why do you not give up this hideous creature with you? She's talking about her Sita like that. Demons are basically duplicitous. We'll see how their character comes forth here. She's saying, why don't you give up this hideous creature here and marry me? And old Ram, after staying in the forest and not having any entertainment for a long time of this sort, he decides to sort of go ahead with the conversation. He said, well, what avails me if I marry you? Full control of this forest. We can go anywhere we like. We can eat anything we like. So Lord Ram, after finally feeling that enough is enough, he says, look, she's my wife. I have accepted her. But here's my brother, who has no wife here to accompany him. You can ask him. So now that the Lord is not available, then somebody else. And that happens to be Lord Ram is a supreme Lord. Lakshman is a spiritual master. So the living entity either wants to enjoy the Lord's potency by devouring her, or directly enjoy Krishna, or being against the Guru. So we see in this pastime like a complete mess of affairs. So she approaches Lakshman and says, okay, why don't you marry me? And then when he also turns her down, she says, now I'm going to devour Sita. And her makeup and everything falls apart. She shows her real nature, her real face. As she's about to pounce on Sita, Lord Ram commands, Lakshman, quickly finish her off. And he slices off her nose and ears with one swift stroke. Shrieking like anything, like thunder, she leaves that place, goes to Lanka, where Ravana is enjoying one of his many celebrations. And she says, you fool, completely engrossed in sense gratification, having no knowledge of any things happening whatsoever. Now, what was she doing? She also was engrossed in sense gratification. You are completely lusty, you are a lusty fool, you have lost your senses. Everything what she accused Ravan was equally applicable to her. But then by seeing her face disfigured, Ravana asks her, who did this to you? She says, wait a minute. Are you powerful enough to protect your sister? So first of all, she sort of angered him enough. He said, yes. So there is this person, Ram. I don't know where he has come from. He's wandering like a beggar in the forest. And he has his brother Lakshman with him. And then he has his wife, Sita. And I think she's most suitable for you. Then she describes Sita in such a way
to actually make Ravan so lusty that immediately he decides, I am going to go and get her. She accused him of being lusty, and that's what she did. She made him more lusty than what he was before. So then she says that Ram likes to hunt. So something could be done in which Ram could be lured to a prey, and then you can catch her. It is commented by authorities that Shurpanaka attacked Sita. Sita is a limb of Lord Ram. She is a part of Ram. Shaktiman, Shakti. So Angi is Ram and Anga is Sita. So it is described that Shurpanaka fighting with Ram or with Lakshman, and later when Ravan was fighting with Ram, Ravana was directly fighting with the whole Anga. Because Sita was there, and she, as we are trying to understand, she is mercy personified. Because of her presence, Shurpanaka only lost her limbs. Ravana was fighting with Ram, and there was no Sita around. So he lost his life. There was no mercy available anywhere. So later when Ravan attacks Sita, kidnaps her, takes her away to Lanka, and Hanumanji is sent to find her, he locates her. And then when he says that, now I am going to do something which these Ravana's demons would not forget in a hurry. He says, what's that? I am going to set fire, destroy this whole Ashoka Vatika, destroy Lanka. So while Hanuman was burning Lanka, Sita Devi was praying to Agni, please, please, if I am chaste and if I am dutiful, I am obedient towards Lord Ram, please protect Hanuman's tail. So that is the motherly nature. In fact, in an earlier incident, one day Lord Ramchandra became very fatigued. He decided to take rest. Seeing Sita's beauty, the current Indra at that time, Indra is a post. So that Indra's son, named Jayanta, he lost his brains completely, he lost his senses. He took the form of a crow and actually attacked Mother Sita on her chest. Blood began to flow. As that flow, the drops fell on Lord Ram's body. He woke up. He was so angry. Who did this to you? In that fit of anger, he took a blade of grass. He empowered it. And he threw it. Now all the sages, rishis, munis present there, they told his Jayanta, now you are doomed. There is no way you can save yourself. There is no way you can save yourself except if you take the shelter of Lord Ram. He said, he's the one who's about to kill me. How can I go and face him? So it is said that he traversed all over the three worlds. He couldn't find any solace anywhere. Finally, he came and took shelter of Mother Sita. Now, she is so merciful. She immediately forgave him just because he asked for it. So that is the forgiving nature of Mother Sita. Finally, when Hanumanji came to the place where she was kept captive, he first of all gave her the good news. Ravana is dead. We have defeated the entire horde of Lanka. It's devastated. Now here are a few demonesses. Those ladies, can't call them ladies, but lady demons who were guarding Sita Devi. And Hanuman said, now let me have the satisfaction of smashing all of them. Just because they are women, I am not going to spare them. So Sita, although in the midst of these
people. Some of them are always brainwashing her. They're always saying that, let me eat you for breakfast. When I eat your hands, your limbs, your face, your this, your that, how nice it would be. Now imagine, if somebody says, I will cut you up, it's like an abuse word. But when somebody can do it actually, and you have at his mercy, that's a different thing altogether. That too when you are blameless. Sita Devi endured that kind of torture for so many days. So she tells Hanuman, and this is like the peak of her mercy. She explains, Papanam va Shubhanam va Vadharhanam Plavangavam Karyam Karunamariyena na Kaschin na Paradhyati. She said to Hanuman, you think they are papis, all these demons are sinful. I think they are not sinful, they could be Shubhanam. Vadharhanam, those who deserve to be killed. Hey Plavangavam, Plavangam is hey great monkey. Karyam Karunamariyena, one should never give up your merciful nature. She says that, why should I find faults with them? They acted according to their nature, which was acquired. I am acting according to my nature. She tells a story. It is called the Vyagra Vanara Samvad in Ramayana. A man was attacked by a tiger. He was running away, trying to flee away from the tiger. As he saw a tree, he saw a big vanara, monkey there. So he said, help me, help me. And he climbed up the tree and the monkey sheltered him. And he saw the tiger below growling. He says, come down, I want to eat you. But the monkey was sheltering this pilgrim. Later, the tiger told him with sign language, push the monkey. I want to eat one of you. Either you or the monkey. Either will do. Now this ungrateful wretch of a person, he understood that the tiger meant that either he or the monkey. So actually he pushed the monkey away, thinking that the tiger will have his fill and I will be free. But the monkey, very agile, he lost his balance, fell down, caught a branch, and again was next to this pilgrim. And the tiger said to the monkey, look at him. Does he deserve your shelter? See how ungrateful man is. And now this man was convinced that his monkey is now going to give me up and I am meeting my death. To his amazement, the monkey said, he acted according to his nature. I am supposed to act according to mine. He has come to me. I am the king of the forest here. He has come to me. I am going to grant him shelter. So, Sita Devi tells Hanuman, if that monkey acted according to his nature, why should we give up our natures? Finally, at the end of the Ramayana story, when Ram had banished Sita again to the ashram of Valmiki Muni, and then came the time for Sita Devi to finish her pastimes. That was the time Valmiki Muni comes and addresses Lord Ram. Iyam Dasharathe Sita Dharmacharini. O Lord Ram, here is your chaste wife Sita. Dharmacharini. Apapate aparityakta mama ashrama samipitaha. She's apap. She's pure. Aparityakta. She was never supposed to be given up. Lokopavad bhitasya tava rama mahavrata. He described Lord Ram as mahavrat. One whose vow of upholding what is proper duty can never be violated. So since somebody whispered something that Sita was in somebody's place and how come she's pure. So just to glorify her purity and to be a proper king, Lord Ramchandra had to do that. So Valmiki Muni condones his behavior, saying that lokopavad bhitasya tava ram mahavrata pratyam dasyate sita tam anugyatum arhasi.
So when none other than a great authority like Valmiki Muni has ascertained her purity, Sita Devi folds her hands and said, I hereby declare, if my Lord Ram was the foremost thought in my mind always, if he was the only true person I loved with my mind, my body, and my soul, and I have loved no one else, let this earth accept me back. That was the time when the earth bifurcated. A throne came up. The residents of the lower planets, the Nagas and many other creatures, they offered her prayers. Sita Devi thought of, sat on that throne, and the earth became one again. So this is how the eternal consort of Lord Ram, the personification of mercy, Sita Devi, ended her pastimes. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Shri Ram Lakshman Sita Bhakta Hanuman ki, Shri Sita Rama ki. Jai.